Okay, that's not the greatest line in the world, but we'll chat anyway. I know that you have had an abiding interest in the in space and the space shuttle program. This is something that you had told me 2 or 3 years ago when we chatted extensively here in New York City. And as I recall, you had given me an example. You were flying out to the West Coast, and you flew over Mount St. Helens. I just wonder if you could tell me what you thought when you saw Mount St. Helens go up, and why this is somehow associated in your mind with the space shuttle program.
I didn't know that it was until you told me. But I can tell you what, I was going out there to have some major surgery at Seattle, and we flew over Mount St. Helens at the very minute that it erupted. And I was just another passenger on an airline. I went over and looked at the bright cloud in the sky and all that, but I don't recall it had any connection with my feeling about the space program or the astronauts, except that now at a later date, as I do think about it, it seems to have something to do with the kind of the godlike view that men have given themselves of things. Here we were up in the air, 1,000 years ago, St. Helens eruption would never have been able to been seen from that angle or from that perspective, like the Earth could not have been seen as it has been seen by the astronauts from outer space or from the moon. That seems to me to constitute a new kind of view of things for the race of mankind.
Yes, well, that's a poetic view, but the reason that it stuck in your mind was that the pilot told you that everybody should take a look at it because you don't see things like that. And it's very much the same way with the space shuttle. You don't get to do things like that very often.
That's pretty much the same thing. Yeah.
Would you, in light of the tragedy that has occurred this week, would you still want to take that flight?
If I would. I would do it tomorrow. If I were physically qualified, which I might not be, probably at the age, I'll be 63 Sunday. So I doubt if I could qualify physically, but I sure would. If they would let me go, I would do it tomorrow.
Why?
Because I think this represents a development of the human possibility that one should not deny. Despite the danger, there's always going to be danger because it's a risk. The technology puts itself up against when it goes up against the unknown and the not yet tried. It tries to close down all the possibilities of failure and all the possibilities of death, but they're always there anyway. They're always there anyway. And the sense of risk taking is one of the best things about the human creature. You have to risk total failure, annihilation, death, combustion, all the things that happened to those brave people yesterday. But you do it. You do it. And it's a great credit to the human race that there are people that will take that risk to get out there and do what people have not done before. This is a great credit to the human race. I feel especially for that teacher who was really not an astronaut, but went to great lengths of extension beyond her usual sphere of activity and so on to get out there and exercise her profession.
Yes, you are also a teacher. Did you actually apply to ride on the shuttle?
No, they applied me, or somebody asked me if I would be willing to do it, but I never did pursue it, and neither did they. So I don't know whatever happened to that particular venture on somebody else's part. I forget who the agency was, but I was asked. I don't know whether it was by official people or not, but I think it was. But again, all that's buried in the files of correspondence.
Well, after I went home from the newsroom here at CBS, I turned on television. I watched Dan Rather last night. I heard him make reference to a poem that you had written. I have all your poetry, and I'm very familiar with it, but that one I was not familiar with.
If you would tell me what Dan Rather said, believe me, I myself did not hear it. I have no idea what he might have said.
He quoted, as I recall, it happened very fast, and he was beginning to wrap up. He had a nice little commentary on the air, and then he began to quote a poem from you about spacemen, and I was not aware that you had written any about spacemen, at least none that...
Yes, I did. I did several things for Life magazine during the Apollo program.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what lines he quoted or anything like that.
Have they been collected into any of the hardcover books?
Yeah, sure.
Which one, do you know?
You could find it in a book of mine called The Central Motion.
Okay, I do have that one. All right, then he probably quoted from that then, but I wasn't sure which poem. That was, I don't know, I overlooked that one.
Unless you know what the lines are. Don't
I don't. They were nice. They were nice. They made reference to spacesuits, but I cannot remember the lines. It happened very fast, and
I had, for Life magazine, that's probably where he found those things. I did one prose thing, which was called something astronauts on a bold mission or something like that, but that's not the best. The two best ones I did were poems. One was on Frank Borman's orbit of the blind side of the moon. It was called For the First Manned Moon Orbit. That was done in the choral edition by NASA with the Santa Clara Chorale, with music by Lynn Shurtleff. Then I did another one, the actual moon landing, called The Moon Ground. It might have been from that one. I don't know. Again, I don't know what Dan Rather saw fit to quote.
Okay, I do have the Central Motion. I hope they're in there. I will look them up.
The first prose thing is not, but the first manned moon orbit is in there, and also The Moon Ground. There is one other one that I did as a Phi Beta Kappa poem for Harvard some years back, which is also about the space program, which is called Exchanges. It might be from there, which is also in the Central Motion. You might look at that, too.
Listen, it was nice talking to you. When are you coming to New York?
I have to come up there to do one of those talking book things that seem to be the craze right now.
I'm starting a series. I do a daily report on books and writers, as you might recall, and I'm just starting today working on a series of reports about talking books.
Yes, I'm going to do some of that, I think. But I don't know when it'll be, but I'll sure let you know if you keep in touch.
Well, we were going to go out for drinks or dinner or something.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You've always been one of the great functionaries up there for me.
Well, I would appreciate it. I think you have my address or my telephone number, don't you? All right, well, what month are you coming up? Do you know offhand?
Not yet. My big new novel is just going in today, so I'll have to come up and confer about that with the editor and the Double Day.
Double Day, huh?
At the same time that I do the talking book thing, but I don't have an exact date now.
You got the manuscript to them today?
I do. The revisions go in today.
You've been working on that for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's very good, too. You're right.
What is the title?
Alan Lamb.
Again?
About the stars. Have you got a pencil?
Yes.
A-L-M-I-R-A-M. It's an Arabic word which means string of pearls. Alan Lamb is the central star in the constellation Orion, the Hunter, the winter constellation up above us every night these days.
This one has a central character, a blind man, doesn't it? Certainly look forward to that. I hope to have a chance to talk to you when that comes out, too.
You touched on the key word, because centrality is one of the main themes of it. What is in the middle? What the other forces, the stars or whatever else there is, has to depend on to gather around.
Listen, it was nice talking to you. Take care of yourself.
If you want to broadcast this, you tell them that I said one thing at the end of my commentary on yesterday's tragedy. Okay?
Okay. Bye now.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Let me give it to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is an 18-something, some lines I like from an 18 19th century poet, little known, named William Collins, about these fellows, these people of Paris yesterday. How sleep the brain that sank to rest by all their country's wishes blessed. I would say those lines, and yeah, right.
Who wrote those lines?
William